second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Titans win 42-16. Jim Wyatt covers the team, TennesseeTitans.com. Jim, everybody could see that coming last night. That was easy to predict. It played out exactly like we all thought it would. Welcome to the show. I'm sure you had that in your notes. 42-16, Titans win, move on to 4-0.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you've got games at night and working on deadline, you always have leads ready for either way. And certainly I had one ready for a win, and also, you know, was ready to adjust if the game didn't turn out so well. But it came together pretty quickly where I knew I was going to be able to use my winning lead. You know, certainly a pleasant surprise to a lot of people. And you would think with so much going on with the COVID and not having a lot of guys available and needing to call guys up from the practice squad and only really having one full practice, having to deal with a lot of distractions, doing all the meetings on Zoom. I mean, it's just hard to imagine the team would come out and play as well as it did last night, but it did. And now the challenge is you got to turn around and play here in just a couple of days against the Texans. So it was a great win last night, certainly. Now you can't celebrate much because it's time to get back to work. That's what a Tuesday game does to you. Hard to believe you've played Tuesday night football.
I know. You've covered a lot of Titans games over the years, and I mean a lot. Considering the circumstances, considering the gap and everything that transpired between their last game, that 16-day window, where does this one rank as in – all-time impressive wins? I think we're going to talk about this one for a while.
Yeah, I think it ranks up there. I mean, I think obviously, you know, and the whole country and the whole NFL had to deal with the emotions following 9/11 and just trying to get your mind back on playing football. And football obviously wasn't the most important thing at that time. And there was a delay because the games were canceled that weekend. And just to show you how much, how much football was secondary back then, I don't even remember what the Titans did in the first game back after 9/11 and when the games were canceled that weekend. But I know
think they lost at Jacksonville, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Well,
does that sound right, Jim?
That sounds right. I mean, that's hard to believe. That's been so long ago, but I can't ever remember a situation like this. I mean, we've never had a situation like this in the middle of the season where you had two games rescheduled, you had such a long delay, and you had to deal with so much adversity. I did say last night, kind of leading up to the game, that it kind of reminded me a little bit of the Chiefs game last year. It obviously didn't have any COVID-related issues, but the Titans were with a lot of guys then. They were facing a team that a lot of people thought was one of the best in the NFL. And I don't think a lot of people gave the Titans a chance. A lot of people were calling them to get, you know, for them to get blown out, and they found a way to win that game, and it kind of jump-started, you know, what happened last season. I think this game was similar in a lot of ways. You just had a lot of people doubting you, a lot of people not giving you a chance, and team ride together and played well. And you could kind of get a sense that they were going to have a chip on their shoulders just by the way they were talking, leading up to this game. But to be able to put that together and be able to execute the game plan and to play with some discipline and to be as sharp as they were after having such limited time on the practice field, I mean, it was really remarkable if you ask me.
They lost to the Dolphins at home to start the season 2 days before 9/11, and after 9/11, they lost to Jacksonville down there 13-6. How did they make Josh Allen? There was so much hype, rightfully so. I mean, when you're completing 71% of your passes and you're 4-0, you belong. You know, you deserve a lot of hype. And there was a lot of talk about how Josh Allen had taken this big step forward, and you know, what is this, year three for him now? But how did the Titans make him look like the Josh Allen we've seen the last 2 years, as opposed to the first four games?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I don't know if I know the answer, because I think Josh Allen's really good. I mean, I've watched him play and watched him mature in his career. You know, I've seen some of his productive plays this season in their win against the Raiders, and they've been really good on offense. Some of his mistakes last night were just bad throws. Obviously, one of them went off his receiver's hands and was intercepted by Malcolm Butler. He threw another one to Butler. He had time to throw. You know, he was effective on third down. I think he still ran around and made plays. He just kind of made some mistakes that have really been kind of uncharacteristic of him during the first, 4 weeks of the season. But I think this is a good Buffalo team, and I don't leave here and think, leave last night thinking, well, Buffalo is a sham. You know, this team was overrated. I still think Buffalo is really good. I just think they kind of walked into a little bit of a hornet's nest last night against a team that felt like is not disrespected, but just felt insulted just by the way, they've been talked about across the league. And I know people don't want to hear, woe is the Titans, because a lot of people are looking at the Titans and thinking that this is a team that doesn't deserve sympathy because of the COVID outbreak. But the reality is, this COVID outbreak was, nothing. I mean, the Titans did everything they could to keep this from spreading. And we're dealing with a virus that's infected so many people in this country. It's killing so many people in this country. The league knew that we were going to have issues as we tried to make our way through this season. And it's going to continue to be a challenge as we go into November and December. Certainly a lot of dialogue about if the Titans could have done things to handle it better. But, I firmly believe that this organization did everything it could. And the players getting together leading up to the Steelers game that was canceled are just trying to get themselves ready to play. There was, a failure to communicate to steal a line from Cool Hand Luke back in the day. And that's what kind of led to a lot of criticism of the team across the country. But this team was ready to play. I think this team is going to continue to be motivated by some of the things that have been said, and I think Buffalo just happened to come in here at the wrong time, and it was just a bad night for Buffalo, I think. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't think they were, suffered a little bit from some of the rescheduling and a jumbled practice schedule and not knowing where they were going to play. And they had a lot of guys out themselves. I mean, the Titans were dealing with a lot of issues, but Buffalo had a lot of guys out that are difference makers as well. So I think in time, this is going to prove to be a really good win.
Speaking with Jim White, TennesseeTitans.com, we always have thrown out the phrase, change of scenery. But how many times does that really work? It's just, I feel like at times it's just been a convenient line. It has worked for Ryan Tannehill. It was an interesting stat that NFL on CBS put out there, a tweet comparing the last 14 games of Tannehill and Patrick Mahomes, and just looking at those numbers, you could say Ryan Tannehill has been the better quarterback. Why has truly a change of scenery worked so well for Tannehill?
Well, I think he's in a good offense, and he's with an offensive coordinator and Arthur Smith, who's taking advantage of his skill set. I think he obviously benefits from having a running back behind him in Derrick Henry that certainly gets a lot of attention. But I think, I think a chance for him to kind of be the leader of this team, to kind of be able to assert himself, to be able to kind of, relax and play, I think has been good for him. I mean, when he was in Miami, obviously he's got the high expectations as a first-round pick. People that people look to try to save the franchise. Here he came into this situation without the same expectations. Now, obviously, things changed when he got the contract this offseason, but he picked up where he left off. I think he's a really good player. I mean, he's been accurate. He's a good athlete. He's got great leadership ability. So, and he's even been better than I thought. But, it's funny. I always think back, and it was this week last year, I think, when he replaced Marcus Mariota. And we all know know how much people love Mariota around here, and there was a big portion of the fan base that was done with the team when they made the quarterback change. I'll never forget tweeting out a video of Ryan Tannehill on the practice field the week when he took over for Mariota, and in the background, AC/DC's Highway to Hell was playing, and somebody commented, you know, under the video that, you know, this is appropriate song because this is where the Titans are headed. And look now, a year later, where this team is headed.
Totally
and
changed Ryan the franchise.
Tannehill, yeah, he deserves a lot of credit for that. Mm.
Talking to Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com. He's been covering the team for a long time. This was a pretty memorable win that the Titans had last night. And, Jim, one theme that I think you've kind of touched on, but I think bears repeating, when you win a game like that, it would have been impressive if they were at full strength. But it's another great example of the Titans' ability to find guys that, when they're called upon, can play a role and they can get use out of those guys. Like Arthur Smith last night utilizing some of the receivers that hadn't played a lot, like Hollister, who had, you know, been on the practice squad for a long, long time. It seems like every time they need to pull him out of mothballs, he goes in, and it's not like it's like he hasn't missed a beat. It's great identification of personnel and also the coach's ability to put them in positions to succeed.
No doubt, and I think it starts with the head coach, who is not wanting to give anybody an excuse. I mean, he certainly believes and practices what he preaches when he talks about the next man up, no excuses mentality. I mean, yeah, you could have sat around and said, okay, we don't have Jeffrey Simmons and we don't have Corey Davis. We don't have Adam Humphries and we don't have Kari Blasingame and we don't have Christian Fulton and we don't have Kamala Correa. But I mean, there were so many guys that weren't available for this team, whether they're frontline guys or they're backups who help you with depth and help you keep guys fresh. And, you know, Vrabel doesn't want to hear any excuses. They call up four guys from the practice squad. They count on guys they haven't really had to count on in the past, and those guys made plays. And, you know, I thought Chris Jackson, the rookie who stepped in, made some plays. I thought Khalif Raymond, who was elevated, saw his role elevated, he made some plays. You know, you mentioned, you know, certainly Hollister. You know, Westbrook Akeem had a catch in this game. I mean, there were a number of guys who jumped at the opportunity to make a difference, and that kind of re-energizes a team, I mean, to see everybody kind of pulling together.
And you can remember, Jim, many a Titans team in the past that when they were utilizing those guys, they weren't there. They did not produce at all, right? Isn't that fair to say? Like, they just weren't very good. Some previous administrations, you know, let's say from about 2010 until recently, they would have a hard time identifying. When they had to go to the practice squad, you just expected nothing at all. It was a totally different thing.
Yeah, I that is true. And I think part of that is just because, you know, frankly, some of those guys, you know, weren't very good. I mean, the back end and the depth on the team, you know, just wasn't quality enough to where you could expect guys to step in and not have a big drop off. You know, I think John Robinson has done a really good job of filling spots with guys. Obviously, when you're spending a lot of money on Ryan Tannehill and you're spending a lot of money on Derrick Henry and you're spending a lot of money on Jadeveon Clowney, obviously you're not able to bolster depth at all the positions, but you know you do as good a job as you can, and you count on guys to do their jobs when called upon. You know, the Titans, you know, need to be fortunate here. I mean, we can't kid anybody. This team is different. If something should happen to Tannehill, or something should happen to Henry, or something should happen to, you know, some guys on the offensive line, so you know this team, knock on wood, needs to stay healthy and needs to continue to be able to count on guys who will step up when guys go down. And this team is not without warts. I mean, we'd be lying if we sit here thinking this team is ready to make a Super Bowl run right now. This team is last in the league on third down defense, is still having trouble getting to the quarterback. You know, Josh Allen had too much time, was able to pick them apart a lot of the game on Tuesday night, and that's got to get better. But the good thing is this team's able to try to make some corrections and do it from a position of being 4-0 and with two home games coming up.
Jim, did you sense this coming with the report that Camilli Correa wants to get traded? It was a terrible timing on his part. He doesn't look very good coming out with this the day after the team has a win like that. But it just came out of left field for me. But I realize he wasn't being utilized very much early in the season, even before the COVID thing hit. But I was still surprised.
Yeah, I mean, he has had such a small role, and they go out and get Clowney, and they go out and get Beasley, and they've got an up and coming guy in Landry, and Derek Roberson, who has been inactive because he's been hurt and because they've leaned on other guys. I mean, those are the four that are really in the picture. And if you're Correa, I'm sure he's looking at it as a situation where he's on the outside, looking in as far as a playtime standpoint. The timing is weird because he just got taken off of the COVID-19 list yesterday before the game, and yes, he was inactive, but it's the same thing for Christian Fulton. I mean, both of these guys are now available to play, but they didn't practice all week. I mean, yes, they're off the list, but to think that they're going to come in and help you, after not being able to do anything for a couple of weeks is unrealistic. So,
Jim White is with us from TennesseeTitans.com. And Jim, you're breaking up a little bit. I think we still have you.
Just the way things have gone for him this year and being kind of in the background.
All right, there we go. You broke up a little bit there, but I think we got you back. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com. Avid Dodgers fan that trailed my Braves 0-2 in the series. Had to get that in there, Jim. Sorry for that. But you mentioned the defense and the third down defense, and you just named a lot of the guys that have been out. But how much is this team missing a Dory Jackson in putting all the pieces in the right place to be able to get it done in the secondary, which has a trickle-down effect to the front seven?
I was going to pretend like I'd call it drop since you're missing the Dodgers being down 0-2. I might as well keep up. I might as well keep it rolling. I'm hoping my Dodgers can get it in gear, but I'm not as optimistic as I was at the start of this series. I mean, I think, it's just crazy to think that, leading up to the opener, that all of a sudden you can remove a guy like a Dory Jackson and you could still find yourself sitting at 4-0. Has it been perfect all the way through? No. I mean, Chris Jackson played well last night, but he obviously has had some growing pains. Jonathan Joseph has had some growing pains. They've worked guys like Ty Smith in. They've worked several guys into the mix to try to make it through. But, I think Butler, I obviously rose to the occasion last night, made some plays. If I can get a Dory back in there at some point in the not-so-distant future and get Christian Fulton back in there and practice. And again, I think this secondary still has a chance to settle in and be a solid unit. But, up to this point, I mean, it's kind of been a jumbled group. You've had, guys in, you've had guys out. Chris Jackson's missed time. Obviously, Dory hasn't played. Christian Fulton's missed time. But they've been able to kind of mix and match different guys to be able to keep it going. I mean, the pass rush has got to help these guys out. I mentioned it earlier. Clowney's flashed, no doubt, and they've gotten a sack here and there, but it just isn't where it needs to be. So all of that works hand in hand. I think the secondary will get better as the season goes on, but that's, the pass rush has got to help make that happen.
He's Jim Wyatt of TennesseeTitans.com. All right, Jim, go do some curls. I know that's helped Derrick Henry, so maybe that can help you out with other media members.
Yeah, I could do curls the rest of my life nonstop and not be able to do what he did last night. That was pretty impressive.
I love that answer, though.
Yeah,
I've done too many
curls.
It
was a great answer. And maybe he took Earl Thomas off the hook from turning him around in that playoff game last year and put Josh Norman kind of on the top of that list of guys that have been victimized. But, you know, just seeing what that did to kind of ignite the sideline and kind of fire up this team, and that's what Derrick Henry does. And I think I may go hit some weights, and maybe that'll help inspire my Dodgers too.
There you go. He is Jim Wyatt of TennesseeTitans.com. Hey, we appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, y'all have a good one. Thank you.
And we'll have more on this game. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on the text line or call us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The quarterback voice from Ryan Tannehill. He almost got him to jump. Yes, he did. He gives it to Henry. Henry trying to get to the outside. Sends the defender, Josh Norman, to his backside.
Derrick Henry will do this to a lot of guys, but he just made Josh Norman, reconsider whether or not he wanted to play again.
Pretty strong words coming from a kicker. By the way, Saturday, November 14th, Josh Norman well did done. Fly. You can support Stars by running, walking, or boogieing. That's what the copy says. For the Nashville Striders, 20th annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K run or walk. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger or somebody like Chase and I who would just prefer to walk. It's on a certified course in the heart of Shelby Bottoms Park. You can also show your support and participate virtually. It's all up to you. That's, again, Saturday, November 14th, Nashville Striders, Shelby Bottoms Boogie to benefit Stars. For more information, please visit starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. That clip was Josh Norman getting thrown into the third row at Nissan Stadium by Derrick Henry on an attempt to slow Derrick Henry down. And Derrick Henry just shoot him away. Not the first time we've seen that. I don't know who put out the tweet on 102.5 The Game's Twitter account, but said the Jags were interested in trading for Josh Norman. That did make me laugh.
That was Max.
A chuckle. It's a good
that
chuckle.
That was Max.
Max, well, that was funny. Good stuff by Max. Max Herz?
Yes.
Good stuff by him. I did chuckle when I read that tweet.
It's very good. Very, very good.
So we talked about a lot of angles of this game. One thing that we haven't really brought up that I think deserves a little bit more attention, was this the best game we've seen Malcolm Butler in a Titans uniform?
I would say
good
probably
question.
So.
I'm not enough of a film analyzer to really answer that. I'm sure there are games that you don't notice anything one way or the other where he played really well. But in terms of impact, you know, the two interceptions, the great run backs, that was impressive. I mean, that first interception set the tone for everything, and that was a drop ball that a play should have been made by the Bills, so he was sort of gifted one there. And the second one, I think, is, you know, the scheme. He makes a great read, picks it off, and then makes an incredible run. So I don't know how to answer that. It's a great question, but it's just great to see him healthy and doing his job, because he's a guy that they were going to lean heavily on. Remember, he wasn't part of the mix last year. He was gone.
Most of the
season. And they had to know that when they let Logan Ryan go, that he could still do this. And so I think that's the biggest part of the story.
I say that, Chase, because I understand he had two interceptions and two critical interceptions, as Willie just alluded to. The first one set the tone for the game, and he had two really nice returns. So it's easy just to point to those two and say, deem it great game by Malcolm Butler. Pushing those aside, he stood out to me more than just the two picks.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that he was one of those that, I mean, he had to step up. I mean, you heard Jim bring up, you know, Jonathan Joseph was not brought in to be what he's playing right now. He's past his prime in that. So Malcolm Butler has to play a bigger role until Adoree Jackson is healthy and back in the lineup. And I feel like last night was a prime example of him doing that. He's made a career of making those big plays when you need him to. We obviously remember the biggest play of his career, but last night those were key moments in the game where he's making those plays, whether it's a batted ball and he grabs it, or the second interception. So that shows you what he can bring to this team and why they paid him that money. And yeah, you might look at it and go, he was overpaid to be brought here, but at least now you're seeing him make plays. And I think they missed him greatly when he went on IR last year and was out for the season. So he's certainly making it known that he needs to be here.
A guy we had a great conversation with, I don't know, what was it, 3 weeks ago, month ago?
We were at Bridgestone Arena at the at Pete and Terry's.
That's right. That's right.
That was a historic first show out after.
Yeah,
first,
sure
first
was.
Post lockdown outside show together.
It was, and we had Dan Hinote on to talk about him. Yeah. You know, maybe joining the FBI or being a coach in the NHL.
But I think the thing to look at though is every time, not every time, but most of the times. This is maybe going back to my question to Jim Wyatt. Because you guys see it too, right? There was a time where if they were down a couple of starters in the secondary, you knew, or the offensive line, you knew it was over. They had no shot. Those guys were going to get picked apart.
You didn't trust Bleedy Ray Wilson? You didn't trust him?
I mean, we can go down the list. I mean, we could look at the roster.
He's still playing.
Time.
Is he really?
He's with the Falcons, I think.
Oh, well, that would explain their 0-for start.
He's been there for a while.
It's amazing how they find ways to get mileage. Ty Smith is another one, right? He played a lot last year. He was on the practice squad for weeks this year. They pull him out. He's in there. He's playing a lot. And they're figuring out a way not to get picked apart, right? They gave up some yards last night, as Jim pointed out. They were 13 for 70, but they really made the Bills work for everything they got. It was a really smart game plan, and they executed. And they did, the Bills don't come out of there saying, man, Adoree Jackson was hurt. They had Christian Fulton on the COVID list. They got a seventh-round rookie in there. They got Ty Smith in there. Why can't we get anything? Why can't we just carve them up and down the field? It hasn't happened. And there's a lot of games you could say that about, right?
Yeah.
Or Taylor Lewan goes out. They put this guy in there. Oh, man, it's all over. And maybe for a series it looks shaky, but they figure out. They're able to patch holes really, really well, which is, I think, maybe it's a really underrated thing that a winning team has to do.
Well, and I'll say this, and because I don't think we haven't really brought this up yet. We're honest on this show. We are. If there is a mistake that needs to be pointed out or a bad coaching decision, we point that out. But I think when there are good things, we point that out as well. Mike Vrabel deserves a lot of credit for last night. The fact that he had a depleted coaching staff, he didn't know what players were available. He wasn't going to have everybody available to play. Three practices, if you really want to call them that, after being out of the facility for 16 days, he had his team ready to play. He did.
It's a big strength.
As we suspected, by the way, none of those players played, as we said yesterday.
It's a big strength of his. I agree. And I think the whole thing, and Jim was trying to put his finger on it, it's hard to, because it's not like necessarily us against the world or got disrespected, but there is, you know, they tap into that, right? You heard it from Kevin Byard in the brief media window that was there. You know, they use that. Hey, we saw what people were saying about us. We saw how people thought we are a bunch of idiots and disregarded everything. So we're going to make note of that. They definitely use that as the challenge. They accepted the challenge of, we've got a lot of adversity here. We're going to show everybody how we're going to overcome that. And they did it. Now, I will tell you this, guys. You tell me if you agree. Sunday's game might be just as big of a challenge, having to turn around and do it again.
Yeah.
Because your emotions carry. I thought their emotions were a big part last night. They were flying around. Teron mentioned that. He goes, I expect them to be flying around. I thought that might be the case for the first half. I thought it would really show up. Maybe the conditioning worry and the lack of cohesiveness from not practicing. It never did. They stayed strong all the way throughout. Now they got to go back on a really short week and play again on Sunday. That's another challenge.
I would agree with that. I'll tell you something else that we underestimated, because we focus so much, and I get it, because we're here in Nashville. We talk about the Titans, but we did talk a lot about the opponent. And one thing we underestimated is the losses that the Bills had as well. They had some key guys out of the lineup that I don't think we put enough stock into. Like, you know, I don't know.
When the line came out at 3.5, maybe we weren't looking at that.
I was going to say, when we came out, like, when you offset, this just in, like Zach Moss, you know, John Brown, those guys are two critical guys on offense. Matt Milano on defense. Tredavious, what's his name? Tredavious White.
Yep.
You think he's good? Yeah, he's really good. Those guys not on defense. Those are two critical guys on defense, two critical guys on offense. They had some key guys out of their lineup as well. I don't think we realized, you know, that on the Bills, we were just focusing on all the key losses for the Titans. Well, when you get down to it, when you think about those names for the Bills, they're just as important to their roster as some of the guys we can name that were out of the lineup for the Titans. So it may have just been offsetting, really.
Yeah. Well, and Tredavious White is going to be on A.J. Brown if he's playing.
Oh, my gosh, for sure. It's
you know,
not
we're probably
be...
not talking about Josh Norman as much today because Tredavious White would have been in those positions.
No doubt. And Milano's their linebacker? Those are guys.
Yeah.
Jake Fromm wasn't suited up, Chase. He was not in the lineup. Jake from State Farm.
I forgot he was on the team.
I know.
But I brought this point up with Nate Washington last night on our Facebook show that we do after Titans games. And I said, okay, so how much of this was maybe the Bills were a little bit overrated. Maybe they were frustrated that they didn't know which team they were preparing for. And is the game on? Is the game off? Maybe, you know, was it missing some of the key players? And he just immediately was going, you have a little bit of water in all those buckets, and you have to put it all together. He goes, I think they're a good team, but maybe they're not as good as everybody thought. But the key players, and he brought up Tredavious White, how important he is to that defense, and the fact that the Titans were able to exploit that. A.J. Brown having a heck of a return to the lineup. You know, maybe it's not as good of a return if he's going up against Tredavious White. So I certainly think I agree with Nate. I agree with you that I think it's all of the above, that some of those things factored in.
I was surprised how they looked lost, especially in the first half without John Brown. It's like they didn't have anybody else other than Stephon Diggs. Josh Allen wouldn't look at anybody else. Now, he did in the second half. Maybe the coaches are like, hey, you know, you can throw to Cole Beasley. Hey, you can throw to these other guys. But it's like the whole first half, it's like all he did was look for Stephon Diggs. There was a time he threw to Diggs. He had three guys on him.
Right.
And if you're looking at Josh Allen going, what are you doing? He's got three guys surrounding him.
And I think that this will be something to watch for in the coming weeks is if and when Brown comes back soon, will that change things and they get back to being really productive? Because their offense, say what you will about it, because it didn't look very good last night, but they were running at a high clip, higher than they've been in years, right? Josh Allen's numbers were awesome, but it became apparent that, okay, Diggs is not a long bomb kind of guy, right? He's just going to eat you up with those quick, great routes. He's going to catch a lot of passes, but they contained him and didn't give it. Same thing with Beasley, right? He's a possession guy. He's a little bit like Humphreys.
He's
going to find the
slot.
He's going to get you he's going to move the chains. But when they can play field position the way they did last night, and those guys had to drive all the way down the field, it took a lot of work, right? And it just takes the one stop over the 15 plays to get the ball back, or they screw up and make a turnover or a penalty. And so I thought that was a really good game plan against that particular offense. No big plays. And they also had no running game.
Devin, right?
They couldn't run it at all.
Couldn't do anything
on
the Titans defense. By the way, he's pretty good. He couldn't do anything on them last night.
25 yards.
That's probably the
carries.
Biggest concern coming out of there, because they will get Brown back. But Chase, they hadn't run it that bad before, had they? They'd had some semblance of a running game.
Moss and Singletary have been good.
Well, I mean, T.J. Yeldon led the way last night.
Which tells you everything you need to know.
Here's the crazy part. You brought up the receiving and how Diggs was pretty much it. Now, Diggs had 106 yards. He was targeted 16 times. But you know who had the longest catch of the night with 22 yards? It was Yeldon.
Yeah, on the touchdown.
that was it.
He slung it to the back.
That was a great throw.
Yeah, sure.
It was a great throw. Yeah, look, we've just talked more about T.J. Yeldon than anybody's talked about him in 3 years. So when you're talking about T.J. Yeldon, that sums up Buffalo's night. They couldn't get anything done. If the best we can do is talk about T.J. Yeldon.
Because how many people heard the name T.J. Yeldon and went, he's still in the league?
Is he with the Jags?
I didn't know he was still in the league.
By the way, Bleedy Ray Wilson, you're right. He's been with the Falcons since 2016. His wiki page still has him in a Titans uniform. He's been playing the last 4 years with Atlanta, and he's in a Titans uniform.
Yeah, I thought so, because he was in the Super Bowl. I know he played in the Super Bowl. So, great jazz singer as well, Bleedy Ray Wilson.
All right, we'll come back. Tim Hasselbeck at high noon. We'll come back and wrap up the second hour next. Don't forget Silly Underdog Picks tomorrow, high noon. Yes, it's Wednesday. We're talking about a Titans game on Wednesday. Your favorite game, we want you to participate. Play along, make your picks. You get three picks, as always, and it can be college or pro. We'll be making our picks. We'll review, make our picks tomorrow at noon. Weekly winner, receive a 10-roof gift card this week. Go to thegamenashville.com. or ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up and make your picks today. We want your participation, just like the show. Participate. Call in, like Clay has done, on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Clay, what's up?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
It's amazing to me, you know, what happened last night, because quite frankly, the Buffalo Bills looked like the team, you know, that had not practiced for 2 weeks. So I think A.J. Brown being able to play last night was huge for this football team. I think that punt return to set up, you know, the second touchdown was huge for the Titans. But I just got a salute, really give, you know, a thumbs up and a salute to the coaching staff, because from everything, you know, all the turmoil, all the controversy, the non-practice, all that kind of stuff, for Mike Vrabel to have this football team prepared to play a game like they did last night, I think that's just a phenomenal job by the whole coaching staff.
Couldn't agree more, Clay. Can't be said enough.
Let's talk about A.J. Brown for a minute. That was impressive, coming off of the injured list, jumping right in there and looking like he hadn't skipped a beat. I wonder what A.J. Brown's perspective has been as he's watched D.K. Metcalf over the last couple weeks. I had that thought last night a bunch, like, imagine having those two guys on
Shame
the same
on Ole
team.
Miss. Shame on them that they didn't.
Well, they had a probation problem. They had a scholarship problem, and those guys were not the problem. But
no,
man.
I know. But I mean, why do? What do you think if you had those guys? You and I know they did win. It's not like Ole Miss didn't do a lot of winning. But man, you would think, gosh, that's two ridiculously good wide receivers on the same roster in college. They're both, and by the way, they're both translating to the next level too, right? They're both special. At least they look like it.
I wonder if they kind of drive each other. Like A.J.
They interact
going,
a lot.
Man, Metcalf is doing really well. I can't wait to get out. I'm going to show him that I'm just as good. Like, I'll bet you there is a little bit of that goes on.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That was so impressive that he was able to just be as sharp. That was the word that kept coming back to me. The sharpness. I just thought there was no way, when you don't practice for that long, being that sharp coming back, I could not have been more impressed. It was inspiring. I was like, how are they doing this? I just don't. I know people are all saying it, but I don't think people really realize how hard that is. And Harry Douglas had a great way of saying it yesterday when I hit him with it. Right? It was, when you're a pro, it is on you to remain sharp. You know, no matter what is thrown your way, if you can't go to the facility, you got to find a way to get your work in, right? But not everybody does that. We know people, right? This is human nature. You take a group of 30 people and you say, you can't come to the office. I need you guys to work on your own. There's going to be some that you know will do it every bit as good. Some that'll do a pretty good job, but not maybe quite as intense or as good as if you were on top of it at work. And then other people that would say, I don't have to go to work, man. Yeah, I did my work. Yeah, I got it in.
It's how it
you
works,
sure?
Though.
You sure, Willie? Did you get your work in? Oh, yeah, I got my work in.
But it shows. Look, but it the comes ones at, who don't work, it shows. The ones who work, they get rewarded. It's no different than our job. It's like we've always laughed, right, over the years. Like, you guys have the greatest job in the world. Yeah, we do. We have a great, great job. And we get to talk sports 4 hours a day. But people are like, you just have to work 10 to 2. It's like, yeah, right. Yeah, you think we work 10 to 2. You think that's how it works? And by the way, if we did, because you're right, there's somebody monitoring us after the show, before the show, after the show. There's nobody monitoring us. We're not clocking in. But let me tell you, if that's what we did, if all we did was do this show and that was our day, I promise you it would show big time mm-hmm. in this show. It would show. You just wouldn't like the show. It wouldn't be a very good show. So either you put in the work or you don't. It's no different in sports. Just because it's not being shown, just because we have no way of seeing it in a lot of cases, or at least, you know, most of the public, the guys that work, it's going back to the Trent Dilfer thing, right? The quiet time. The people put in the work, they get rewarded. The people who don't, usually their careers are over pretty quick, and it shows. That's how it works. I mean, what have you heard has been the biggest beef with the Bears right now with Trubisky? What has been kind of the storyline with Trubisky in Chicago? We wouldn't know it, but their coaches, it's frustrated the coach so much that he's been willing to say it publicly, which, you know, I don't know if we should agree with that or not. I don't know if that's the right tactic, but what has he done? He's basically he's called him out saying, yeah, Mitch is kind of like the last to show up to the facility and the first to leave, and that's right. Just really not sitting very well with me. And guess what? It's shown. That's how it works.
He's benched.
And Trubisky's been benched yet again, and you knew it was coming with Foles. And, you know, his career is probably going to be this because he doesn't seem like a guy who's willing to put in the work behind the scenes. And there's been guys here in this market that didn't put in the work behind the scenes, and it showed, and their career ended abruptly or ended way shorter than it should have because they got away with it at other levels, but at the highest level, you better put in the work or it's going to come out in the wash. And it did. And their careers ended way too soon.
And I think we've seen with A.J. Brown specifically that he is one of the, you use the word special. If a guy's special and you can identify him as special, then you don't worry about any of it. You know he's going to put in the work. I mean, look at the other levels. He's put in the work. He's gotten to this level. You know, a friend of mine, Katie, covered him in high school. He and DK Metcalf both covered them in high school. And people around there in Mississippi have said, yeah, these guys are special. They have it. They understand. They know what you have to do. And so you don't have any question that even though he's missed time, and this was due to injury, he did the work, the quiet time, as you brought up. He did that, and it showed last night. And that's what separates special guys from guys that have been told how good they are their whole life and don't actually work for it.
So I think it illustrates the makeup of this team, what they've been looking for, what they said from the very start. When Mike Vrabel had his first press conference, he did identify that as a trait he was looking for, that mental toughness, the right, what did he say, the right 53, not the best 53, but the ones who have mm-hmm. that mental toughness that he had, quite honestly, as a player. But it's one thing to say that you want it. It's another thing to go find it up and down the roster. But I think that's one that's it's going to only embolden them going forward. Now, let's flip it over. Let's flip it over, guys. What did you think? Did you think that the Bills probably got lured into the trap of thinking, hey, these guys haven't practiced? They probably told themselves 100 times, don't underestimate them, don't underestimate them. But somewhere deep in their mind, I think they were stunned how well the Titans played. Do you agree?
I think there's a little bit of that.
There's no way of knowing. I thought, you know, they were going to come in mad because everything we've heard up there is Buffalo, just like the Steelers, were basically ticked what the Titans were doing to them, right? Messing up their schedule. You're messing up our schedule. You're messing everything up. So I thought they were going to come in mad. Like,
right,
you know,
they were
making
to
us play on Tuesday. You know, we're sitting here this whole time. We got to practice for you guys. We got to practice for the Chiefs. We don't know when the Chiefs. By the way, they were supposed to be playing Thursday night against the Chiefs.
Right.
Obviously, we know they got moved. We didn't know who we were going to play, when we were going to play. You guys messed it up. We're going to be really – we're mad. We're going to take it out on you. Well, that didn't happen. So, Willie, to answer your question, it's a fair question. I have no idea. Clearly, you know, I'd say you could make a case for it because they look like a team, you know, that didn't. They certainly did come in mad. They certainly did come in prepared because they were the team that looked like they hadn't done anything for 16 days. They were undisciplined. They looked rusty. They looked like what we expected the Titans to look like, right? If they would have been jumping off sides and false starts and all the dumb penalties the Bills took, if the Titans were doing that, we would have said, yeah, well, I mean, that's what happened. I mean, you know, they've been doing stuff virtually and haven't played a game in 16 days. They've had all this crap going on, and they haven't been together. And so what did you expect, right? That could have easily been today's storyline. And we would have just said, what did you expect was going to happen?
And you watch. I will predict this. Mike Vrabel will downplay that. He won't take a lot of credit for it, and he will say, that's your job to do that.
Yep.
Now we got to do it again on Sunday. You will hear that theme throughout the questions he's asked at 12:30.
And we will have that for you at 12:30. But when we come back, Tim Hasselbeck, our weekly chat with him next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.